Amen. I just simply feel like Mr. Evangelist or Brother Evangelist, okay? Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Praise God. And if you preach with me, I don't think I'm going to preach very long. But if you set on me, I'll find something to say. Hallelujah. Some of you saying, I wished I'd have known that was the key a few months ago. Well, glory to God. Acts chapter number 2. Let's begin at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. As the Spirit gave them the utterance. You could go down to verse number 6 and say that when all of this was noised abroad. And so there is some noise that is happening there. And when they came out of the upper room, the Bible says that they heard them speak in his own language. Somebody says, well, what is talking in tongues? Number one, it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's not as you learn to talk, and it's not, you know, if you're, you know, English is your first language and Spanish is your second language and such. Now, we do know that there are several nationalities that are represented here, and they all heard them speak in their own tongue. And so there were those that was speaking in the language of the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and on and on and on it goes and talks about all of those different nationalities, and they were heard now. And so sometimes that's the way that it is. But I promise you, it's nothing that you know as far as you don't know what you're saying, because God's got control. God's got control of it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, he said, though I speak with tongues of men or of angels. So sometimes it's a heavenly language. And other times it may be just an earthly language that you don't know, nobody else knows. But we've all heard testimonies of sometimes of people speaking in tongues and somebody in the room is able to understand them because they understood whatever that language was. But that's what it is. And but it's as God gives the utterance. Somebody said, well, I can speak in tongues anytime I want. Well, you probably can, but it's probably not of God. It's probably of you. You need to pray and let God do it. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance. Praise God. Amen. That's not what I've come to talk about here tonight. I want to preach here for a little while tonight about the sounds of revival. Amen. The sounds of revival. Praise God. Would you just help me pray here today? Heavenly Father, we love you and we need you tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us here today. I pray, God, that you would minister and that you would move in this place. The anointing of the Holy Ghost would be in this place today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, come on, let's make some sound. Hallelujah. Let's make some noise unto the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lifting our voice, magnifying Him, praising Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you and adore you, God. We exalt you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. All right. I find it not necessarily unique, But I find a principle in Scripture of opening your mouth and praising God, and how that it does so many things in your life. It has the power to do. As a matter of fact, there are many times that victory is predicated by you opening your mouth and lifting your voice up unto God. It's as if God is saying, if you're not willing to lift up your voice and to thank Him, to praise Him, to worship Him for the victory, it says God saying, I don't guess it's that important to you. There is something about faith that causes God not only to take notice, but to act upon that. We know that without faith, that it is impossible to please God. In the book of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 8, if I could say it like this, Romans chapter number 10 is probably one of the most convoluted chapters, or let me back up and say one of the most twisted chapters that people use in this entire world. They use Romans chapter number 10, and they twist it to their own understanding, and they take it and they take it like a piece of clay, and they mold it to make it fit exactly what they want to say. And they don't even take number. They don't take. First of all, they don't take Romans 10 into context. Number two, they don't take the book of Romans into context. They just make you say, you know, have you ever heard your parents say something like this, or you as parents have said something like this? You know what? You're hearing what you want to hear. I didn't say that. You're just hearing what you want to hear. Well, that is what Romans 10 is, that many people just make it say what they want it to say. But if you look at Romans 10, and we're not going to go through the entire chapter, I just simply want to look at this principle right here in verse number 8. And he said, but what saith it? Now, the it is referring to Scripture. Now, we're not going back and grabbing everything, because we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about this principle of opening your mouth and speaking. And he said, so what saith it? And he's talking about the Old Testament, really. That's what he's talking about. What do the Scriptures say? And then he tells them what the Old Testament says. He says that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thank God that somebody was preaching about faith. But the word that he is referring to, because you can take all of that out of context extremely quick. But the word that he is referring to comes out of Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 11. And the Bible says it like this, and I'm going back to verse number 11 instead of starting at 14, because I want to give you some context here. But in verse number 11, he says, but this, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? He said, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And so the Lord speaking, he said, look, there are some things that are in your mouth. They're like seedlings that are in your mouth. How do we know that they are seedlings? Because there is that measure of faith that all of us are supposed to have. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me break it down just a little bit further here today. How many of you in this room tonight, you know that God is a healer?
Do you really know that God is a healer? Do you believe that God can heal, amen, anything from headaches to cancer? Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. And that is a seedling that is on the inside. How many of you believe that God is a deliverer? Do you believe that God can deliver from addiction? That God can deliver, amen, from whatever that you're bound by? Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe, amen, that God is a way maker, a provider? Amen. Do you believe that God does those things? That is the seed that is in our spirit, in that we know God is a healer, and we know that God is strong, and we know that God is a deliverer, and we know that God's a way maker, and that God's a provider, and that God is all of these things. We know that He's counselor, and we know that He's the Prince of Peace. And here's what the Word is speaking of. God said, there's sometimes I just want you to open up your mouth and declare it for yourself. There are times when you know that I am a healer. I want you to open up your mouth and say, God, amen, I accept the healing that your stripes, or that of the stripes that was laid upon your back. Amen. There are times that God wants you to stand up and say, God, I know that you are a deliverer, and you know how the enemy has been fighting me and coming against me, but tonight I am standing upon the knowledge that you are a deliverer. Amen. And God takes action at things like that. When you declare with your voice at a time when you're in need, and you say, God, I know that you're a provider, and I am in need of some things, and I am asking you today, amen, as I stand upon your word, you declared and you said that if any man would ask, they should receive, and that if any man would knock, that the door would be opened unto them, and if any man would seek, that they would find. God, I am asking today. God, I am knocking today. God, I am seeking today. And there are times, amen, that God stands up and He begins to put things in motion. Oh yes, amen. God is not, amen, some foreign spirit that forces Himself upon you. He didn't force the Holy Ghost upon you. He didn't force, amen, freedom and liberty upon you. And just because you got the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that everything is going to be great. And as they say somewhere down in the South, hunky-dory, amen, there are going to be problems. There are going to be situations. But when you stand up and you declare, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sometime or another, you've got to open up your mouth and you've got to speak the word. He said, the word is nigh, even in your mouth and in your heart. Why don't you give Him praise tonight? Praise God. Amen. Don't expect God to show up if you're not interested in Him showing up. Don't expect God to heal if you're not interested in Him healing. Amen. There's so many times that we are sick in body, or we've got problems in our body. And when everybody else is wanting prayer, we're quick to pray. Amen. And then kind of thinking to ourselves, well, you know what? I could use some prayer, but you know what? I'm just going to prefer my brother. Amen. And what happens? We go without our healing. Amen. Sometimes we gotta allow importunity to get a hold of us and cause us to be like that little woman that, because of her importunity and coming back before the judge and saying, I need deliverance. I need help. I need you to do something about this. He did so. He did something about that. Amen. I can tell you numerous people that received their healing maybe the first time that they came and were prayed for. Why does it happen like that? I don't have any idea. But there are others, amen, that it took constantly coming back again and again and again and again. But somewhere or another, God said, that's enough. Ask Cornelius when the Bible said that his prayers and his alms came up before God as a memorial. And finally, God said, okay, that's enough. I've come to preach to this church. It's time. I want to be very careful here and say, we're not going to make God do some things because we don't command his hands. But friend, there is something about it when you begin to praise him, when you begin to magnify him, when you begin to worship him, when you begin to ask of him, there is some, God said, I want to be your God. I want to be your healer. I want to be your provider. I just simply want to know, do you want me to be these things to you?
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I think it is intriguing that he added here when he said that the word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Amen. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. You know the word. It's there. It's in your mouth. It's ready to come out. It's ready to happen. You just need to speak it into existence. Even the Lord God, the Bible said that the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be, and there was. Amen. He followed and set the tone of the principle by speaking it. Hebrews said that even the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God. There's some things that we're just going to have to speak. Amen. But it's got to be more than just lip service. It's got to be from the heart. Look at what Jesus spoke unto the Pharisees. And he said, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Paul told the church in Rome, he said, that's not the way to do it. He said, the word has got to be in your mouth, and it's got to be in your heart. And Deuteronomy said, the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart. You got to believe what you're talking about. You cannot be just hit and miss, but you've got to believe it. But I'm here to tell somebody today that if you believe it, it shall be done. He said, ask anything in my name and it shall be done. Praise God. Praise God. Oftentimes we pull that verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, into isolation. But I just want to read a few verses with that as we start in Psalms chapter number 107 and verse number 1. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right hand, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. That is why they were praising him. And the reminder just comes about, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've got a right to praise the Lord. In all reality, you've got a responsibility to praise the Lord, because you're not who you used to be. You're not where you used to be. You're not what you used to be. Don't ever forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Don't ever forget where he
brought you from. Don't ever forget what God done for you in the land of sin, in the land of Egypt, when you were just wandering around, but you cried unto the Lord at an altar of repentance. You cried unto the Lord at an altar of repentance. You lifted your voice and you said, God, forgive me. I need your help. I need your touch. I need your power. I need your salvation. And God came forth for you. He said, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There is power in the spoken word. The Bible says that even the voice of a king, the words of a king, there is power in the words of a king. You need to take control of your life. I'm not saying take it out of the control of God, but the devil has been running you around, and the devil's been playing with your mind, and the devil's been fighting you and telling you how worthless that you are. Amen. And you feel the condemnation and the regret that's there. Somebody needs to stand up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Stop letting the devil beat you up mentally. Stand up and declare, I am a child of the king. I am saved. I am blood washed. I've been bought with a price. You need to let the devil know that you remember who you were. I used to be a sinner in the land of sin, but God in his mercy reached down and helped me. I used to be an addict under the vices of the world, but God helped me. Come on, friend, you are still a child of the king.
Praise God. Praise God. We may not get much further than this here tonight, but I just feel like pushing it just a little bit. I wonder how many of you come into the house of God tonight and your head wasn't as high as it needed to be. Amen. Your head wasn't as high as you would have liked it to be. Amen. You got some things, amen, that has happened on Monday and Tuesday. And here's the devil riding you like a great dog. Amen. Beating you over the head, saying you're worthless. You're low down, no good for anything. You're a miserable, a pathetic excuse for a saint of God. And you call yourself a child of God, and he's beating you down. Why? He's got to try to tell you that you're not who that you really are. But you did pray through at an altar. You were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to get that revelation that if God be for you, then who can be against you. It's time for you to stand up and say, devil, you may have got me on Monday and you may have got me on Tuesday, but today's a different day. You may even say you may have got me today, but this moment is a different moment. I'm still a child of the king. I'm still an heir in glory. I'm still blood washed. Lift your voice and say so.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? Why can't you do that? Well, you don't know what I did today. You don't know what I did yesterday. You don't know. Can I just ask you a question? Have you repented of it? If you haven't repented of it, that's the first place to start. But if you have repented of it, amen, then why is the devil trying to beat you over the head with that? If you've repented of it, God is faithful. For the Bible says you need to get the word of God. Amen. This is why you need to hide the word of God in your heart. That not only you might not sin against God, but when the devil comes around, amen, saying, hey, you worthless little bum, you can open up to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And you can say where John said, my little children, hey, I'm still a child of God. He came unto his own and his own received him not. John chapter number 1. Amen. Verse number 12. Amen. But he said, as to many as received him, as to many as believed upon him, to them gave he the power. power to become the sons of God. Devil, you're fixing to have a bad day because I'm getting ready to rip the Bible out on you. I'm going to take a two-edged sword out on you, and we're going to pierce asunder. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. My little children, write these things unto you, that if any man sin, amen, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he is the righteous, and he is the propitiation for us, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Hey, devil, that means now. Hey, devil, I've already been talking to God. I asked God to forgive me, and God is just and able to forgive. Praise God. This is the sounds of revival that need to be in the church. I may have to come back and visit this a couple of different times so that we catch it all. Amen. But that is one of the sounds that need to be. You know why? Because nobody wants to go to a dead church. Come on now. Come on now. Would you have come back if everybody in here would have had their hands in their pocket and looking around? Amen. And nobody would have been worshiping and nobody would have been doing anything. Amen. You'd be looking around saying, I don't know what's so special about this place. But the reason that you came back, when you first stepped in the door, you said, they're crazy. But after a little while, you said, whoa, what is that that I feel? And you got to thinking to yourself, what are they doing? Come on! And you saw somebody up there, and they were just worshiping. Somebody else is clapping. Somebody else had their hands waving. And they were making some noise. They were praising and magnifying God. And the songs got to happen, and all of a sudden everybody started singing. You know why? Because this isn't an entertainment show. It's not an entertainment show. Our praise singers and musicians, they're not entertainers. They're leaders. Amen. We are all here. And there's only one in the audience. I said there's only one in the audience. And that's God. We're here to please Him. We're here to sing unto Him. We're here to make a joyful noise unto Him. We're not here to satisfy you, to entertain you. We're not here to entertain me. Amen. We've got an agenda. I gotta worship the one that brought me out. I gotta worship the one, amen, that saved me, redeemed me, and justified me. Praise God. Brother Deontay, when I think of His goodness, when I think of His goodness and all that He's done for me, I can't just sit there. I can't just twiddle my thumbs. I can't just sit there and meditate. Amen. There's something that gets on the inside of me, because you don't know like I know, amen, what He's done for me. You don't know where He brought me from like I know where He brought me from. You don't know all the vices and the addictions, but God has been good to me. And when I think of His goodness and all that He's done for me, my soul, not just my mouth, my heart, my mouth, amen, begins to cry out, hallelujah, thank God for praising me. Coming to church is more than just about sticking your hands in your pocket and looking around. Well, glory, the pastor needs to go back home. Coming to church is more than just coming and just sitting there and saying, well, let's see what happens. You understand that every time, and this is the mentality that you need to have, every time I come through these doors, I'm here to offer a sacrifice of praise. This is between me and my God. Brother Colbert, son, you cannot stop my praise. Amen. Sister Nikki, you cannot stop my praise. The only one that can stop my praise is me. Now, if all, this is the plural of y'all, all y'all. If all y'all, and as we get into the north, it's all you guys. And if you get over into Colorado, it's all yous. or use. And sometimes they say use guys. But if all of use your guys and gals decide that you're not going to praise him, it is going to make it a little bit tough on me. But it doesn't make it that I can't do that. I may do it anyway, but I'm going to feel mighty awkward. And everybody's going to be looking around saying, what did he drink? But when we all come to the house of God, and you've all been working on that sacrifice of praise before you get to the house of God, all right, let me step out of the evangelist shoes for just a little bit and step over into the pastoral shoes here for just a moment. All right? I promise you I'm going to get right back into them here in just a second. But you know, my wife and I, we get along so very well. I didn't say we didn't argue. I didn't say that, you know, that everything was just great. For the most part, it is. But we are two different individuals, and so there are times we disagree. But you know what? Many, many times, just like you, you get into that disagreement about 2 to 3 hours before Wednesday night service. But it's just like my wife tonight. It wasn't a disagreement. She had gotten back into Louisiana, and there's some situations that was going on there and such. And so she texted a little bit, and then she said like this. She said, oh, I'm sorry. You've got church tonight. I'm not going to mess with it. You know, there's some of you that are not about to let that happen. Woo, I need to get out of the pastoral shoes now, huh? No, you got this mentality. You know, we're going to deal with it right now. You know what? The chances are, if you just leave it alone and go to church, you'll come back out of church and that disagreement, that whatever, will be gone. Yeah. There was one time I was driving down the road on a Wednesday night, and she thought that I got too close to a car. She started to say something. She's like, never mind. I said, no, what is it? She's like, never mind. We're on our way to church. I was like, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Feels like them get out of jail cards or something, huh? But you know what it came down to? It's not that big of a deal. We're getting ready to go to the house of God. We're protecting our worship. We're protecting our praise. Why? Because we're fixing to go into the presence of the King. I'm getting out of the pastor's shoes back into the evangelistical shoes. Because when we all come together with that mindset, and we all have that concept of, you know what? We're here to have church. This isn't a social gathering. This isn't the Elks Lodge. This isn't the Mason Club. This isn't, amen, all these. I heard Chris say, praise God. This isn't social gathering. This is church. This is about Jesus. This is about what he's done for us. And so we all come into the house of God. And you know what? And I begin to praise him. It makes it easier for you to praise him. But at the same time, if you begin to praise him, it makes it easier for me to praise him. And somebody starts singing out loud, and it makes it easier for me to pray or to sing. And I start praying out loud, and it should make it easier for somebody else to pray out loud. Amen. And all, what has all this happened? There's a sound. There's a sound. There's a sound that's going on. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in the upper room, and they were all praying. There was a sound that was happening. But all of a sudden, there was a supersonic sound that superseded, amen, that sound. It was a sound that came from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there was another sound that began to happen. All of a sudden, everybody began to speak with new tongues and began to magnify God. And there was something that happened beyond. on that because they came out of that room with a sound in their mouth, and everybody turned and looked and they heard that sound, and then they began to cry, "What meaneth this?" And then they heard the preaching, amen, and as they were preached unto, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And on the day of Pentecost, God filled 3,120 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need the sounds of revival to be in our church. Let's stand and magnify God here tonight. Now, I'm just going to be honest as a pastor. And when something like this happens, there ought to be a sound that happens. There ought to be sound that takes place. But we just experienced a dead spot. So let's all stand and let's worship the Lord. Everybody just kind of makes a little bit of sound, then everybody just kind of stops. That's not praise. That's cheerleading. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Give me a V-I-C-T-O or Y." I'm not going to lead Pentecostal calisthenics. Somewhere it's got to get from here to here. Because if it's just the pastor saying, "Come on, somebody, praise the Lord," it's just here. If it's just the song leader saying somebody ought to be worshiping the Lord, it's just here. Somewhere or another, there's got to be that connection that it comes from here. Oh, praise God. Somebody ought to be worshiping God right now. Amen. Somebody needs to hear me right now, because I'm telling you, I have felt this two different times. Not just tonight, but I have felt this two different times. Amen. In the Holy Ghost, that there are people under the sound of my voice, that your victory is on the other side of the sound of your praise. But you can't get beyond your dilemma. Amen. Because you feel tied by the enemy. You feel condemned by the enemy. Amen. And the devil has shut your mouth. You don't have praise that comes from your heart. You only have praise that comes when somebody says, "Clap your hands." You only have praise when somebody says, "Praise the Lord." You only have praise when somebody says, "Let's do this." Amen. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost tonight, I have felt it two different times in two different services, that somebody's victory, of you getting the victory over what is keeping you back, you getting the victory over what you have been fighting over, you're getting the victory is behind your sound. Amen. I'm not talking about hypocritical sound. I'm talking about getting sick of the dying, sick and tired of the devil working you over and saying, "Tonight, devil, it's gonna stop." I'm not saying that tonight from now on I'm gonna be perfect, but tonight I'm gonna declare, "I'm a child of the King. I'm going to walk in His favor. I'm going to be bold in the Holy Ghost." Amen. And rejoice not against me. Did Micah say it or did he not? Rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The devil doesn't want you saying that. The devil doesn't want you saying, "All right, devil, when I fall, I'm getting back up." Amen. And though a righteous man fall, he's going to get back up seven times. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up. But I'm not going to sit here in misery. I'm not going to sit here in depression. I'm not going to sit here in fear and in condemnation. I am going to declare, "I'm a child of the God, and I'm going to be victorious." Come on. on, your victory is just on the other side of that. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You're going to sit there, amen, and not lift your voice. You're going to sit there, not praise God. You're going to sit there and let the devil have the victory. You're going to sit there and let the devil lie to you. The Bible still says that he's a liar and the father of all lies. You say, well, he's been speaking the truth to my mind here a little bit. No, he's only speaking the truth because that's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that you're worthless. He wants you to believe that you're hopeless. Amen. But that's why God has come to visit you tonight. Because God doesn't believe you're worthless. God doesn't believe you're hopeless. God doesn't believe you're without a cause. God sees something in you that you don't even see in yourself. God sees something in you that he wants to take and get glory out of. He just needs you to step forth and say so. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. 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 Come on, you're redeemed. You're redeemed. You've been bought with a price. Amen. God put his blood upon you in the waters of baptism. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. God redeemed you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not a slave to you, devil. I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. God's trying to work. Amen. Come on, church, help me pray. Amen. Because there is a spirit that is trying to hold on super tight right now. Amen. But I believe that there's enough power in this place that if somebody will just lift their voice, if somebody will just, the word of God is nigh unto your mouth and in your heart. It's there. It's there. It's there. You just got to say so. You got to lift your voice. I am more than a conqueror through him that has loved me. Amen. I've got a testimony. Hallelujah. I've got a testimony. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Devil doesn't want you talking to sinners about the goodness of God. Devil doesn't want you talking, amen, to backsliders about the peace of God, the faithfulness of God. The devil doesn't want you talking to neighbors and friends. The devil wants you to keep your mouth shut. But you can be an overcomer by just lifting your voice, praising by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony.